Stay tuned for The Turning Point with Mike Fader. Well, the New Year celebrations are over, and we are in the new year, according to, what is it, the Gregorian? Is it the Gregorian calendar that we use? Sorry for the noise here. Things are propped up a certain way in the studio. Sometimes they unprop themselves. That was the clock falling down. Time going away. I have a digital clock that I look at when I work here. New Year. I mean, I don't know what you did on New Year's Eve. Maybe some of you, although I think most of the people who listen to me aren't the kinds of people who would go down to Times Square and join, you know, several million other people screaming and yelling and drinking and getting high and welcoming in the new year. It's kind of a bacchanalia. You know, it's just Times Square is it's one of those things. It's like Mardi Gras in New Orleans, just a way to turn everything upside down, to let everything out, clean out all the craziness and settle into things afterwards. Periodically, people need to get crazy. some of us stay crazy, which is not too good. But, I mean, in a normal course of life for normal people, for most people, every once in a while, people need to get a little crazy. And I think what it does is put a frame around things. It sort of redefines what normal, quote unquote, is, you know, how you would proceed in life in a normal way. But anyhow, New Year's, big bacchanalia for younger people in Times Square here in New York. Although I think this year, considering everything that has happened, especially what happened in Paris, was it now a couple of months ago? People are afraid to gather, but it didn't seem to stop all the people in Times Square. Are they interested in sensation? Do they have a bit of a death wish? If I thought my kids were going down there a long time, I mean, they're older than that now. They don't even live around here. But if one of them was telling me at the age of 18 or 22 or something they were going to Times Square, I would make a big deal out of them not going. I would try to scare them out of going. Any kind of big crowd in a public area like that that is world famous, you would think people would be scared. But I don't know how many people stayed away. I would have no idea. I didn't stay up that late to watch the ball drop. And I didn't want to look because who knows what I would have seen. So anyhow, New Year's. So it is a new year, the Gregorian calendar. That's the one most of the world uses, although there are other New Years that are more ancient. Obviously, there's the Jewish New Year, the Chinese New Year. they seem, in a way, more connected to the way of things. It's not an artificial designation that the Gregorian calendar is, although I guess what the Gregorian calendar did was to adjust for the revolutions of the Earth around the sun and changes, and I don't know what, something, it's more scientific. But the Jewish count, the Jewish New Year and the Chinese New Year are more ancient and adjusted to harvests, to when buds first come out, when the earth and plants and trees are sort of quivering, like it's in February sometime, quivering and ready to finally emerge. And the Jewish New Year, I'm not too good about this, but after the harvest comes in, and is that when planting is done? I think maybe, yeah, some planting is done. And the harvest comes in, and nothing will be growing after that, but the harvest comes in, and planting is done, I guess, and a new year starts then. So people, you know, different societies, different cultures have had different ways of celebrating the new year. For us, this is the new year. And everybody returns to work on this day, on Monday. So everybody is coming back from a long holiday, mostly a long holiday, New Year's, Christmas, straight into New Year's, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days, 2 weeks, depending on your circumstances and what you're able to get away with. And same thing for most people in the city. So it was kind of a hard thing to do, to come in today to my wife went back to work, hard for her, hard for me. And I think a lot of people have this problem. Back to school, maybe some kids are looking forward to it. Maybe some parents are definitely looking forward to their kids, their little kids maybe, going back to school. They'll miss them, but they look forward to it. And in this new year, there will be new things happening. All my life, as an American, you know, buying things in stores, looking at things mostly on TV, which is where we got all of our cultural information, and I guess a lot of people still do, it was always new. In America, it was always something that was new. And I suppose this goes back way back before I was aware of it. advertising. You know, advertising, when it got to be a big thing, starting in, what, the teens, the 20s of the last century, the 30s, 40s, and then advertising became almost, you know, part, you know, the medium became the message. Advertising was something that people looked forward to seeing, even if they weren't going to buy the products, because it was all enforcing the newness. In America, it was always newer, bigger, right? It was detergent, cereal, now it's gadgets and devices, but whatever it was, a car, you know, everything, and some of the things are the same, cars, whatever. It's newer, it's bigger, it's faster. Faster became a big thing in the, I think in the in the 70s and 80s, when faster started, along with all the technology. But newer was always something. New, improved. Remember this, all this advertising from every product you could possibly imagine. New, improved. Bigger, better. Where could it possibly all end? How much bigger and newer and better can anything get? But new advances. There are new advances. And there will be new things. There are more new things all the time. And things become older faster. So there are, I mean, I'm from another generation, but every time I go to a website now, or every time I do something on the computer, there is a new improvement or an update or a plugin or whatever it's called. It seems like every couple of days, you know, and so I go back to these things I'm supposedly used to, or I'm going to, let's say, put a document on my website, and I go to WordPress. Does this make any sense to anybody? Maybe some of you know what this is. And I go to this place called WordPress, which enables me to maintain my website and to put documents on my website. And, you know, I get used to doing it a certain way for a month or 2 months or 3 months, and bang, I go there the other day, yesterday, to put something new. I couldn't even use it. There was new things I had to add, which I'm not capable of doing because it gets too confusing. So I have to get my tech guy to help me out to add all the new things. And every couple of days, maybe every day, the computer automatically adds new things from Microsoft, or it adds new things from, I'm on Mozilla. It's a search engine, right? Is it Yahoo, Mozilla? And there's always something new going on. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I don't even know what it is. Mostly I don't know what it is. So do you want this new thing to happen? So usually I press yes. I have no idea what's happening. And I can only hope it is Microsoft or Yahoo or Mozilla telling me, do you want this to happen? And not some hacker in Russia who wants to, I don't know what, steal my social security number. A lot of good it would do them, I suppose. But there will be actually new things. There'll be new real advances. There will be, quote unquote, progress and advances in science. More things will be discovered in technology, in medicine. So more people will be helped. And these things are always better and they're worse. They're better and they're worse. All the new things that get discovered in medicine and in science and technology and space travel, and think of anything else. Anything new that gets discovered or invented or applied will have its inevitable drawbacks. I mean, it'll make things go faster. in science and medicine, people will be cured of things they were never cured of before, which is a blessing. Pain will be relieved, different ways of operating on people that are less intrusive, and there already are. my wife went in for, she had appendicitis, and had to go in, like, as an emergency, and they had something called laparoscopic surgery, which they've had for years, but they use it more and more in different cases. And they don't cut some deep, you know, deep into your tissue, which takes much longer to recover from. They cut your nerves, your muscles, you know, open you up, and there's more danger involved in doing that. So now it's laparoscopic. And so these are, you know, there's all kinds of good things that come out of medicine. New medicines are discovered all the time, or marketed or invented, and they all have their side effects, some of which you don't even know about, and even the companies that invent them don't even know about them. So that's worrisome. But new pills people can take so that they're not suffering from a host of terrible illnesses which cause pain, new methods of surgery, and then certainly new technology. I think there's way too much new technology. our lives, and I don't mean just older people's lives, you know, who have trouble adjusting to new things, and some people who are not good at technology to begin with. I mean, I have friends my age who are not as backward and ignorant and recalcitrant about technology as I am. I'm really definitely in the conservative category. I'm going to have some water. The water, I don't think, is new. This is, well, what do I know? Okay, I'm going to have some water. It's it says it's plain spring water, but go no, like my grandmother used to say. And if there's anything new about this water I'm having right now, I don't even want to know what's new about it, where it comes from. I trust them. They say it's, you know, spring water from wholesome spring water from the wholesome earth. I believe them. Most of the people I know, even my age, are into technology. They know all about the cloud. They know about, they're all on, they whatever the latest Microsoft is. It's Microsoft 10 now. They jump right on it. Whatever apps they can get, they all have smartphones. They text. I don't do any of those things. I probably should. It would make life easier for me in some ways, but it would make life more difficult and fudge up my brain more. I never liked technological things too much. I mean, I owe my whatever it is that adds up to my career to technology. I mean, to the radio and to typing on the computer. After all, I have three books that I've published. If you want to know anything more about me, or if you want to contact me, or make a comment on anything you hear on this show, don't forget, go to my website, and it's called The Feder Files, or just Feder Files, FederFiles.com, FederFiles.com, one word. And I just have, speaking of new things, the website is new and improved, and it is new and improved, and it's about time. It was pretty old. So there are some things in it that don't work exactly right, but some things do. You can see all kinds of stuff on there that you couldn't see before, and things work when they didn't work before. And one thing, hopefully, that's working is you can contact me through the website. And you can join my mailing list, because in addition to doing the radio shows, I write not, you know, all the time, but, you know, maybe every week or two, or maybe sometimes more or a little bit less. I write articles and essays about things I observe, internal, emotional, psychological, or things that go on in the world. And I will let you know, if you're on the mailing list, that I will send you the article that I write or the essay, and you can feel free to comment. What will be a new thing for me technologically will be, and it's been difficult to do because the tech guy I work with isn't available except every couple of days. So there's always some wrinkle that has to be smoothed out and doesn't get smoothed out so well. So it takes a while to get it ready. But what new thing there will be for my website and in the world of technology is there will be a blog, so that the articles I post on my homepage, the essays and the articles, which are generally, I think, about issues that would involve everybody, politics or psychology or relationships or, you know, all kinds of things like that, you'll be able to comment online. I mean, you can always write to me still personally. You can write me a personal email, but you'll be able to have a dialogue with other people online or with me where I would reply online. And so it'll be more public, and that's the modern world, right? And that's a good thing. So we're working on that, and I hope within a day or two to have that blog ready. And so if you go to Feder Files, you can check and see if you're able to comment, and then we'll see what happens. I hope it works out. But as far as new things in the world, some new things will be returned to old things. Often things that seem new are really rediscoveries of older things. Fashion, you see this all the time. Fashion, if you wait around every 10 or 20 years, things that have gone way out of fashion come back in and they're fashionable again. And maybe some other things will become fashionable too, like used to be privacy, used to be more quiet in the world. Now there is almost none. But maybe that will be discovered as a new thing, like a new generation will discover privacy. They may discover the Constitution of the United States and say, that seems like a good idea. Those ideas seem pretty good. Why don't we do that? Why aren't we doing that? They may rediscover freedom of assembly, protest, freedom of speech. These things may be rediscovered, and they will be considered new things. And unfortunately, because of the way things have been the last 10 to 20 years in this country, they will be new things. Freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. Because now any of those things are considered almost treasonous and are subject to spying and people being denied the ability to fly. You know, there's no-fly lists. And so maybe we'll discover our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That would be a new, improved thing for our society. So there's lots of things that will be rediscovered, and they'll be new to generations that have never really quite experienced these things before. They'll be good old things to people who have seen them and seen them disappear, but they'll be brand new to some other people who are younger. And, of course, there will be in the world, and certainly in our country, there will be a new government. There'll be new governments. now we are officially in the calendar year for all the primaries that everybody's been running for and spending already, you know, I don't know, $50, $80, $100 million before the year even starts, and still 10 months away, or is it 9 months away from the election. All the primaries will officially start now. I think the first one's in February sometime. So there's all this politics. There's Hillary and there's Bernie and there's all these clowns and scary people in the Republican Party. To me, all this new stuff, all these new people and all this new stuff is the same old stuff. And I mean that in the most profound way. And what's new about it, what's old about it, although they all claim that they're new. I mean, you know, they all say they have a new way to fix America. They have a new approach to America. Or sometimes they will appeal to people's sense of the old disappearing and the new being threatening. They'll, especially conservatives, will say, let's get back to the old values. Well, that's a good thing, but it all depends on who's talking and what values they're talking about. But when I see, you know, all these, I get these constant appeals, and when I see articles about what Hillary said or what Bernie said, or what Donald said or what Marco said, I mean, really, it's the same old shit. It's the same old bullshit. And basically what I'm hearing is, except maybe for Bernie Sanders, who, God bless him, but, you know, he's not going to be the candidate because the rich own America and they will not tolerate, in both parties, they will not tolerate a candidate like that. Although I'm sure he'd become more amenable. I mean, he could be offered deals like anybody else. He would be less of a quote-unquote wild-eyed liberal at the age of 70 or whatever he is. But it's really money, you know, money that runs everything in this country. People say we should return to old Christian values. There's a lot of that. Christian values. Christianity is not the dominant religion of the United States. Christianity is not the dominant religion of the United States. Money always was and still is and may always be the dominant religion. Money and the getting of money and the power that comes with it is the religion of the United States. It always was since the first European set foot on this country's shores. And when I see what did Bernie say and what did Hillary say and what did Donald say about Hillary and what did Marco say about Ted, who gives a shit? I mean, I know that's terrible to say. This is the Progressive Radio Network, and I used to be very involved in politics. But 2 years ago when I almost died in an emergency and was like a thread away from dying, and when I woke from the coma I was in, I feel like I awoke from a couple of other things too. What I awoke from was the last, which I didn't have much at the beginning, you know, at this point. What I awoke from was the last remaining belief I had that anything in the United States, as far as the government concerns, is going to get any more liberal or better. The whole Congress and almost every candidate, except maybe for Sanders, who probably won't be allowed to run one way or the other. The whole government structure is based on sucking money from its citizens and giving them almost nothing in return. And it doesn't matter whether I sound conservative or liberal, because those distinctions are almost meaningless now. The rich have always really run the country. And I'm reading Robert Caro's gigantic biography and political history of Lyndon Johnson now, and starting out in the 20s and 30s of the last century and into the 40s and 50s. And it shouldn't be so eye-opening, but it was always about money, all the state politics and all the government politics, except for this one time, perhaps, in the New Deal, although Roosevelt was rich. During the New Deal, a lot of genuine, even people who had money or, you know, a lot of money was used for campaigns, there were genuine concerns for the people of the United States who were in desperate shape from the Depression. And the New Deal was an extraordinary time in American politics. And we have never really seen anything like that since then. A lot of the stuff persevered, especially in some ways through Johnson, but a lot of stuff persevered all the way into the 50s and 60s. But then starting in the 70s and 80s, it all started to go. And for the last, I'd say, 40 years, the rich have reclaimed the country from the middle class and the poor, and there's hardly any middle class at all anymore. So the income inequality is completely out of control, completely out of control. So, yeah, there'll be new, like I say, new discoveries, and there'll be new coups in the world. There'll be dictatorships. They'll be overthrown. There'll be democracies. They will be overthrown or undermined, probably by partially by the United States, which has been doing that as a profession for the last 70 years. There will also be, along with scientific advances, other scientific advances of a negative and awful nature. There'll be new weapons invented and used. Nobody invented or ever invented a weapon that hasn't been used, as far as I know. There'll be new weapons. There will be, sadly, horribly, new wars. There'll be new disasters due possibly to climate change, but new disasters that we'll have to, you know, giant tidal waves and storms and hurricanes that we'll read about. And there will be plagues, some of them mega plagues. There will be, you know, because of the overuse of artificial things and too much, too many antibiotics. But so all of these things will happen. This will be a new year. And that's for the external country and for the world. And then there'll be new internal things. There will be new internal things. What will be new for you? What will be new for you, for individuals, for each individual person, for anybody that's listening? And I never know how many people it is. And I think I don't want to find out. I think it's fewer than I used to have on some other radio stations. But that's okay. Quality is probably, you know, better than quantity. I have to learn that. Although there may be more people listening than I think. I think there are, actually. But what would be new for you? Think about it. It's a new year. I mean, I think after a while people stop making resolutions because you fall short of them. And it's a good thing to try to have a goal for the new year, I suppose. But, you know, in any case, what would be new for you? What new internal or external behavior or action would be new? You know what it is. And if you don't know what it is, you may discover what it is in the new year. For me, what would be new? The same old thing would be new because my struggles have never ceased to be my struggles. And this is a whole complicated thing. It has to do with the way I grew up. It has to do with my nature. It has to do with the quality of how I see the world and the way I relate to the world. But as always, what would be new for me is what was always what would be new for me. I'm not exactly sure, but I think it would be new for me to grow up, even at my advanced age, to accept, what is it, AA says, to accept life on life terms. That would be new for me. To give up impossible, unrealistic dreams, that would be new for me. Focus on what I have now, what good things I have now, or whatever I have now. Just focus on it and deal with it, rather than thinking about the past or what the future might bring. So instead of what I've lost or what I might have in the future, to try to focus on the now, that would be new for me. I mean, it's not like I don't do these things ever. I try to do these things all the time, but I don't have... I don't really live in the present as much as I'd like. And I'd like to come to terms with old age, really come to terms with it, not be scared to death of illness and mortality like I still am. I'd like to free myself from this desperation that comes with, with the kind of life I've led internally mostly, and the desperation that comes to all of us when sometimes we become too conscious of the approach of mortality. What would be really new for me? What would be new, like a new discovery, would be to accept love, which is all around me. There was times when I saw that, you know, when I felt that. But after this thing that happened to me 2 years ago, I sort of withdrew back into myself in a protective bunker that I'm in. And love bounces off this bunker. It bounces off. And I don't want it anymore. I want to accept this love, which is all around me and which I have in my own life. And to give love as much as I can, to feel a real solid sense of connection to other people. That would be new for me.
at a time when this world just seemed to be spinning really out of control. There were some believers, deceivers, a few in betweeners who seemed to have no place they could go home. Same old song, just right and you're wrong. Living is just something you're going through. No place to hide. I fell into your eyes and I found myself in you. Look to the stars, love, and roar to the bars, till my life had gone up in flame. With my hands on the wheel, something I know is real. I know that I'm headed home.
Yeah, what's new? What's new? Love is the oldest thing in the world. And it's, maybe for some of us, it's eternally the newest thing in the world to give, to accept. So that's the new. So here's the new year. Wouldn't I love to love? Wouldn't I love to love? And to have it replace fear and anger, you know, wonderful thing it would be. But what would be new, I wonder, that's for people, that's for individual people, although it's connected to everything else, right? I mean, if everybody was able to do that. But then the world intrudes. The world is a hard place. I mean, there's more and more income inequality all the time. People who are vastly wealthy, obscenely vastly wealthy, criminally wealthy. And I say criminally because it's in the face of maybe a billion people, several hundred million at least, or at least maybe a billion people who hardly have enough to eat and have no place to live, who don't have enough water to drink, enough food to eat, who have almost nothing, who live in, hundreds of millions of people live in total misery. And there might be like even just the top 100 richest people in the world have like $1 trillion or $500 billion or whatever it is. Think of what this could do for all the people that are suffering in the various countries they live in. And concentrate on our own, but think of it. I mean, there are people in this country who get in more and more tax breaks all the time, big article in the Times. People in this country who, and, you know, I suppose other countries too, obviously, but in this country who are saving even more and more on taxes. I mean, the richest people, the people who are billionaires, there's one guy has a 34-room triplex on Park Avenue. He's the head of a hedge fund. And there are other people like that in this country. You know, when they have weddings or birthday parties for their children, they spend $1 million, $2 million, $5 million dollars. And all around them, there are people who are decent, good-hearted people who just didn't have a chance or who are suffering in some way, who literally have no place to live, who are practically starving to death, who are dealing with conditions that are unacceptable. And these people, they don't care. And our government doesn't care. It doesn't, as in the New Deal, which is a brief shining moment in our history in this country. We need a New Deal, but there is not going to be a new Deal. But there's not going to be, speaking of a new year, there's not going to be one. I don't think there's going to be one. I feel like the clamp of these rich people on everything, on land and society and business and politics is too strong. It's too strong. But, and maybe if things get worse, maybe if things get worse in our democracy, people will demand more. But it seems as if people are just more and more passive than they've ever been before. They're not as angry and they're just more and more passive. And the police powers of the government are stronger and stronger. But that's America. And the world is like that, too. The whole world is like that. So what would be new for the world? Maybe figuring out a way to overcome what the Buddhists call duality. What's called duality in Buddhism. To really understand that everything and everybody is connected. We're all in the same boat. Wars and power struggles and they're all small, and religious, you know, murders and executions. All these things are small and foolish. They're small. They're foolish things. Ultimately, what's going on in the world? All these wars and all this global warming and all this drying up of water and all poisoning of food. All these things that are based on greed and power and fear. Will kill every living thing on this planet. It's clear as a bell. There's no argument about this, unless you're some crazy, stupid, opportunistic conservative. You know, global warming, pollution will kill, and all these crazy wars, which is going to wind up killing, and all these weapons will kill everybody on this planet, every living thing, not just human beings. This stuff will even kill the rich unless they manage in their gated communities, right? In their mansions, in their palaces, in their 34-room co-op buildings, you know, apartments. It'll kill them too. They have to breathe the air. If there's no food to eat, if the air is poisoned, if entire cities are awash, you know, and can't even be lived in anymore because the ocean's rising, it's not going to spare them or their children or their families. I mean, unless, of course, they manage to get it together and just go to the moon or Mars or something and set up the ultimate gated community where no one can follow. No one can be with them. And they'll be finally on their own. You know, the ultimate goal of the rich, to be not connected to anybody else except to themselves. It seems to me that all these struggles in the world, all these wars and all this global warming and all the people in the world, everything is connected. Just the way, I mean, every living thing is connected. Everything is connected in a practical way, you know, psychologically, spiritually. Everything is connected. Every life on the planet is connected. Everything. I was looking at some articles in the paper during the vacation, and although I guess I'd have to sum them up because they're too long to read, and it's not such a good idea to read it for my own voice and maybe just if you're listening to the radio. But there's one that a giant Chinese truck company, you know, and China is really a capitalist dictatorship. Communism has gone out the window. It's nothing. China is nothing but a capitalist dictatorship. It's like a capitalist wonderland. There's a lot of people who are rich capitalists in this country that probably envy the power and of the capitalists in China and Russia, because in China, it's a dictatorship. It's not a dictatorship. And the really, really rich, the people who own this country, would love to have a dictatorship when nobody was allowed to have any, that no unions, no more unions at all, which we're on the way to achieving here. No more unions, no more protests, which are on the way to achieving here. Nothing. And if you raise your voice, you say one thing, you publish anything in a paper, bang, you disappeared, like in Russia or in China, or you're in jail forever. That's it. Nobody ever sees you again or hears from you again. There's nothing happening. Nobody, you know, this is what capitalists want everywhere. They want total control of everything around them, markets, people, land, laws, everything. So this giant truck company in China wanted to open, this is interesting to me, open a factory in India, where a lot of Western countries have factories. A lot of, you know, call centers and factories are open in India, which has over 1 billion people. And when the president of this truck company looked at different sites in India, he found one that had a mountain in the back and a river in front. And this, according to ancient Chinese, this is not a new thing. This is one of the oldest things there is. An ancient Chinese tradition of feng shui was very auspicious to have a mountain in the back and a river in the front. Feng shui, as I understand it, being that you don't build things or locate things, your house or a factory or a business or a temple or anything, on just any old place, but you find somebody who's spiritually in touch with the earth and the energy from the earth, And that's where you locate where you live. You don't want bad energy coming up. There are places that have better energy and worse energy. And so this company found a seemingly ideal spot, and they bought from local landlords there, like 1,000 or 2,000 acres of a farmland in an Indian village, and start putting up their factory. But they ran into a problem, because the mountain in India where they put this up, or where they want to build this now, is sacred to many Hindus in India. It's sacred. So they ran smack into the newest thing in the world, ran smack into the capitalism and technology and production, ran smack into the oldest things in the world, which is superstition and religion. So for at least 2,000 years, the cliffside caves on this mountain near where they went, where they put up part of this factory, have been home, I'm reading from the article now, home to generations of monks. One of the most revered Hindu saints is said to have attained a pure vision of his God during the 17th century while meditating in the highest cave overlooking what is now this company called Photon, Chinese company Photon site. Photon erected barbed wire, the company erected barbed wire fences, which they had never been before in this area, and hired uniformed guards to keep out trespassers. But cattle herders and Hindu pilgrims have repeatedly trampled the fences. The oldest thing and the newest thing, right? The monks do not want a noisy neighbor. Here's a quote. In today's life, spirituality and science are both important, and neither should deny the other. Kailash Namade, a monk, said during a pause from chanting religious poems. Okay, that's enlightened. But this factory should not come here because it will ruin the spirituality of the mountain. In other words, there are other places to put this. And just because the Chinese, I mean, this is so ironic, right? This modern Chinese company, which denies, by the way, any superstition, really did apparently choose this place because it had good feng shui, this ancient tradition, a good place to put things. But they ignored, at the same time it was good for them, the feng shui, it ignored totally the spiritual feng shui and the spiritual life of the country that they're building the factory in, of the very land that they're built the factory on. So this is, to me, it's a fascinating kind of ironic clash that goes on here. And these things are complicated. There's overpopulation. The world is way overpopulated. That's one of the main reasons why there's so much trouble in the world, because there's too many people. And all these people use too much energy, and they burn too much coal, and they need, you know, food, they need water, they need shelter. And these things very much are dependent on technology and on energy. And where is this supposed to come from? So we have repeatedly raped the earth to the point where it's practically dead. China and India now probably have surpassed the United States in being the worst polluters in the world. They all burn coal, these countries. In China and India, they just burn coal. And there are places in China where you can't even see, where you can't even breathe. So in this place, but what are people supposed to do? In India, apparently, 13 billion new people graduate from school. 13 billion new people come on the job market. 13 million new people come on the job market. 13 million every year, added to the hundreds of millions that need jobs already. There's just too many people. And the religion teaches, or does not forbid, certainly, people from having as many children as they want. Now, in China, of course, to try to slow things down, I don't know how many people live in China, 1.5 to 2 billion people. They have had a law for, a couple of decades now or more, that you can only have one child. But now they're thinking of lifting that law because now there's too many old people. There's too many people who are old and dying in China, and they need newer people. Inevitably, when you look at this, talk about tipping points, there are too many people in the world. So in this article here, they're talking about everything that's connected in the world. I mean, these factories will use coal to pollute the atmosphere, but they will hire, there'll be a couple of thousand jobs that will be provided to people who have no jobs in India. They have no jobs. I mean, you know, all these billions of people, they have to do something, right, to make a living, to earn their money. And just in the process of doing that and living, they are creating a situation in the world where they are creating their own deaths, premature deaths. So here's the factory and the coal burning, and they're providing thousands of jobs that are desperately needed in India, you know, all the time. And this has happened with many other countries, Western countries and other countries, who employ people in India because it's cheap, because they pay them nothing. And we read about all the stuff that happens in, Bangladesh and India, where, you know, things are built cheaply and there are fires and factories. And people scramble around in trash heaps all over the world and in Rio, you know, in cities in Asia and South America. And meanwhile, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And we keep reproducing. So the superstition and the and this applies to various religions in the world, to have as many children as possible to propagate what? The religion, or because people are just ignorant, or they're told by priests, Hindu priests, they're told by Catholic priests, they're told maybe by Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox Jewish rabbis, you know, that you don't use birth control. Really? Well, where is all the food supposed to come from? And so there's more and more people. Am I being grim here? I'm just talking about what I see. Was it Will Rogers? I just know what I know I read in the newspapers. So this is what's going on in the world. This ancient religion, which is responsible for spirituality, which can be a very good thing, and for terrible ignorance and superstition, which can be a very bad thing, is running smack into the capitalism and the technology and the pollution of modern industry. I don't know what the solution is to it. In China is another article here. In China, there's an article about and McDonald's has 2,000 franchises. There are 2,000 McDonald's in China. It's been around for a couple of decades in China. And there are so many poor people in China now, homeless people, because there's not enough jobs, and, you know, because there are too many people there, that a lot of them have taken to sleeping out. The homeless people, there's more homeless people all the time, they're sleeping in the McDonald's overnight and causing all kinds of trouble for the patrons and for the people who own these places. Did you ever imagine this would happen in China? I thought the whole idea of communism was like a commune, right? It's communal, which is what the world needs, is to understand that we're all in the same boat, to be communal. But everybody's in their own separate world. Everybody's making money, desperately looking for a job, burning coal for more energy. Everybody needs more energy all the time. This radio station runs on energy. The elevator I take up here, everything runs on energy. And 95% of it, or 90% of it, I don't know what it is now, in this country and in other countries is, carbon-based. It's carbon-based. So everybody needs a job. Everybody needs to eat. And meanwhile, we've got to the point where we've created tremendous weather disasters, where more and more countries in this country and in Iran and in California and other Texas, other places all over the world, are turning into deserts because of this. You know, there's too much heat. Look what's going on now. I mean, finally we had a couple of days of winter here. All of this is connected. All of this is connected. How is it possible? What can we do about this? And how much time do I have left, by the way? About, yeah, okay. Here's the last article, and it has to do with this, and it's kind of sad and connected in every other way. A passenger train speeding through northeast India barreled into a herd of elephants as they crossed a set of tracks late Wednesday, killing five. Their bodies were scattered in pieces, so the authorities were at first unable to count them and reported that seven had died. One female elephant, sorry, this is really awful, but this is the modern world, right? Whose leg was fractured by the train and was unable to stand, fell into a ravine below the track, unreachable by cranes or trucks. And so veterinarians descended and set up a camp near her to provide treatment, but I think she ultimately wound up dying anyhow. The authority said, and what's really touching here in a way, is that the authorities in India said, and elephants are known to do this, that after the collision, the herd scattered, but returned to the railway tracks and stood there for quite some time before they were driven away by forest guards and railroad workers who rushed to the spot after the accident. And the train crosses through a so-called elephant corridor in Jalpaiguri district, where collisions are frequent. 12 trains run through the corridor, and the latest accident, this is in northeast India, which is not too far from where the Chinese are building this factory near the Holy Mountain. Get it all? It's all the same. The latest accident brought this year's death toll to 17 elephants, of which there are not that many left in the world. Think of all the species that are disappearing. Deepak Sharma, one of the four doctors now camping near the injured elephant, said that the others died of internal hemorrhaging and complete mutilation. The body of one elephant was trapped between a railroad track and a bridge and had to be cut into several pieces to be removed. Service on the track was suspended for 12 hours. Amazingly, hardly anything at all happened to the train or the passengers. There are thousands of miles of railroad tracks in India that pass through areas inhabited by elephants. And activists and wildlife officials have repeatedly met with transportation officials in the hopes of minimizing collisions. Deepanar Ghosh of the World Wildlife Fund said that environmental groups urge trains to be slowed in such areas to 25 miles per hour between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. when elephants are likely to be crossing the tracks. Mr. Ghosh said, get this, that officials refused to do so, saying it would hamper economic development. What are you going to do? It would probably. If the trains went slower, it would hamper economic development. So let's just murder everything that exists that's not us. And then finally, we're murdering our own selves. And the last paragraph is that more than 26,000 elephants are believed to live in India, where they are closely associated with the Hindu god of wisdom. The Hindu god of wisdom? Where is the wisdom in all of this? Maybe it's impossible. Probably it's impossible. If the world does not start cooperating, if people and governments do not start cooperating and realizing we're on the same boat and the outlook is grim, then we've really had it. You know, wisdom, religion, production, jobs, technology, everything new. How does it all work together? Let's end up with John Donne. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or thine own were. Any man's death, and I'll add, any creature's death, diminishes me because I'm involved in mankind. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. And therefore, never sent to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Well, the bell is tolling louder and louder all the time, but it's drowned out by video games, production, wealth, and wars. And I can only hope that it's in this new year that there is some general awareness and change in the way people deal with this.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. at the bottom of the ocean, under the water, carry the water.
Here comes the crystal.